Good afternoon. I call this meeting of the House Finance Committee to order. Let the record reflect it is 1:41 p.m. on Tuesday, April 19, 2022. Present today are Representative Thompson, Representative Carpenter, Representative LaVon, Representative Edgman, Vice Chair Ortiz, Co-Chair Foster, Representative Rasmussen, Representative Josephson, Representative Wool, Representative Johnson, and myself, Co-Chair Merrick. This afternoon, we're going to finish an introduction of House Bill 414, which is the Governor's Infrastructure Bill. We last heard this bill on April 7th, and we have just a few slides left to go over, which works well because we need to wrap up probably by 2 o'clock. There's meetings with Senator Sullivan. Mr. Baker, welcome back to House Finance. If you could place yourself on the record and continue your presentation. Do we know what slide we're on?
Good afternoon, Madam Chairman. For the record, Miles Baker, Infrastructure Investment Coordinator in the Office of the Governor. Mr. Steininger couldn't be here this afternoon, but Paloma is behind me as well from OMB if we have any. I think I stand to be corrected, but I think we had gotten through the first section federal programs, the congressional earmarks. I think we were on this slide.
Slide 15.
But I'm happy to go back as necessary.
Well, let's begin there and see how it goes.
Okay. Let me just grab my notes here.
And for the committee's information, we do have, looks like, lots of folks online from different departments. So we will have people to go to if there are specific questions. Mr. Baker?
Yeah. I did want to note, Madam Chairman, also, I believe Representative Carpenter and I think one other member had questions last week about DEC's staffing, and I think we provided the committee a response from the department. So I know that Commissioner Bruni's online, too, if there are any questions. That was in the earlier part of the presentation, but the question around full-time employees versus part-time employees, and so just wanted to draw your attention to that letter that did come back to the committee.
Great, and I do see Commissioner Bruni online if there's questions.
So. Okay. If I could, maybe I should just quickly go back. So I'm back on slide 7 just to reorient. So we had laid this presentation out in terms of categories of the bill and you know, those federal programs with match, those things that we wanted to add some additional state support in the federal program. There were a few congressional earmarks. And the last two categories we're covering today is on the infrastructure coordination and implementation effort, and then also some competitive opportunities that we think are worth going through. So on the coordination and implementation side, one thing we've learned certainly since November is that this is a long-term effort. It's at least, you know, another 6 months to a year, if not longer. It's a five-year federal bill, and we are learning new stuff all the time. There are programs, new federal programs, that we're still waiting guidance for. Many of these are competitive opportunities. The state is just one of the eligible entities. In some cases, the state's not one of the eligible entities, tribes, local governments. And so it's become very clear that the coordination of this is going to take time. And the effort we've been doing in the governor's office has been initially largely focused on preparing for the bill that we introduced to you 2 weeks ago, working with our state agencies, understanding what money is coming through in this legislative cycle. But there's a lot of coordination that's needed outside of just the state agencies. And so what you see here, we have three appropriations in the bill to address that or start to address that. One is to sort of formalize a coordination function in the governor's office. We have a $5 million multi-year appropriation, capital appropriation, and right now two positions envisioned, So you see there the $5 million appropriation and the $480,000 that would come off of the capital appropriation for CIP funding and the operating budget of those two positions. We also have a appropriation for the Alaska Municipal League and for the Alaska Federation of Natives. Both of those organizations, over the last year or 2 years, with the COVID money that came into the state, were very active in exactly what I'm talking about in this coordination of trying to understand the opportunities for Alaska and tracking the funding and the working with the eligibility and understanding the eligibility. And this is going to be that that much of an effort and more, and so we want to continue to support that. The Alaska Federation of Natives Navigator Program, and then the work that AML is doing. So AML has put together a sort of informal Alaska Infrastructure Coordinating Committee of folks that meet on a regular basis. I'm part of that. That's a continuation of an effort they started under the COVID. They are hosting AlaskaFederalFunding.org, which is a repository of grant opportunities and any sort of information that we learn about the bill. They're hosting it there, and as some of you know, they were part of a big, very successful grant symposium that was held in Anchorage last week in conjunction with Senator Murkowski's office. And so these appropriations are to continue those efforts.
Thank you, Mr. Baker. So we're doing a lot of kind of technical things with these two appropriations. Are you doing any direct community outreach, building relationships with other entities besides AML and AFN?
Madam Chairman, are you talking about with the Governor's Office appropriation specifically?
Well, just any of them. It seems like a lot of this is like information gathering and finding out what's available, mm-hmm. but how are we going to disseminate that information? Mm-hmm. I was glad to hear about this website, but, are there other ways that we're going to communicate this information to Alaskans?
That certainly would be the plan going forward. I think we made, some of this is, this bill passed in November, and we started the process, and as we've gone through the process, we've learned what we need to do more of. We, in the governor's office, had specifically not wanted to initiate a new task force or start a bunch of working groups until we really knew what this looked like, where the gaps were, where we needed coordination. We now see in this bill, in a separate part of the bill, we've got the broadband office appropriation for that to stand that up in commerce. And then we've got this request to formalize sort of what we've been doing in the governor's office. We think, at least for now, it belongs in the governor's office. Over the next year or so, we don't anticipate this is necessarily an ongoing thing, but a permanent thing, so to speak, but at least for the next several years, we think this is a worthwhile effort. But as part of that, we do need to start sort of the outside of this pure state agency coordination, and have kind of started that process. We will probably form sort of an infrastructure subcabinet that will include some of our public corporations in regular meetings. And then, on the broadband side, the federal law is pretty prescriptive about what we will have to do with the state as a state to collect regional input, to get all, to make sure we have a coordinated statewide plan. On the rest of this, and states, and we've also been, I've been reaching out to my colleagues in other states to the extent they've stood some up, and states are all over the map on this. Many states have had for years a statewide structured sort of infrastructure entity. Sometimes it's a board that's appointed by the governor. And so they've just been programming this new money into an existing process. Other states are sort of learning, as we are, that it's one person in the governor's office, it's double, dual adding. So we are open to ideas and want to work with the legislature on figuring out that going forward.
Thank you. Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. I could have waited to the very end, but I guess one thing I was wondering about is you talked about having quite a while to do the full rollout of everything, but on the other hand, if the money is sitting there, what's the possibility of federal funds that aren't spent being clawed back in a sense? I mean, depending on how we appropriate those from year to year.
Mm-hmm. Representative Johnson, through the chair, that's always a concern. This is a little, I would say, so far at least, it's a little different than what we experienced in the COVID bills, where most of the money that's been made, one of the questions that came up in the other body was, is there anything in this bill that we know of that Alaska is eligible for that we didn't put forward? And the answer is no. I mean, everything we're aware of that Alaska is eligible for in terms of funding coming through federal agencies, we put in the bill with the appropriate match, and then we've added some things here that we think we need to continue to pursue those opportunities. I think just like every year with DOT, the federal aid to highway programs come out. Not all agencies use, you know, that money is not all spent. And USDOT does sort of a reshuffling every August and makes those monies available, and states will go after those. So I think that kind of thing will continue to happen in these federal programs. But the competitive grants, I think they'll have to see what the grant applications are and what the appetite is. I mean, we talked at the last meeting on the, for example, the EPA has put a specific effort into lead service line replacement. We received a lot of money for that through sort of a national distribution, but we may be one of the states that can't use as much of that because we don't have as much lead service lines. So perhaps, you know, that money after a couple of years, they look and say, well, we're going to redistribute that, or we're going to allow you to use it on other areas. So we'll have to see.
Thank you. Please continue.
Okay. The last category then in the legislation are what we're referring to as investment opportunities that we believe Alaska is uniquely positioned for, should be pursuing, and the upside opportunity is large enough that we think it's worth putting some general fund money into go after these opportunities. And the four that are listed here, they're all in under the Department of Energy, U.S. Department of Energy. They're in the area of grid, electric grid modernization, clean hydrogen technologies, carbon sequestration and capture, and rare earth and critical minerals. And so in each of these, we have, the university's got a couple, but we're putting, recommending $1 million of UGF go forward, and you see the lead agencies on each of these. We, in the case of clean hydrogen and the carbon capture and the rare earth elements, the agencies already come out with requests for comment, requests for information. We have worked, I'm using the term we very broadly, the state, in the case of the clean hydrogen, HDC in partnership with some of their commercial partners, the university put in a response. And this is not a response to a funding notice. This is, hey, as you develop this guidance, be thinking about Alaska, and this is why. And so we've worked very quickly on some of those because the bill passed and it had very tight timelines of when the agencies could get some of these notices out. So it was over the holidays, first part of the year. But DNR for example, put together a team that responded to one of those RFIs on the carbon capture, which included AEA, AGDC, ASRC, Conoco, Hillcorp, ENI, Usabelli, and so they were fairly large responses to a whole host of questions that Department of Energy had as they were considering preparing these notices of funding opportunities. So we expect that in the next quarter, third quarter, fourth quarter of this year, that those funding opportunity notices will start coming out. The grid modernization, there is the legislation has $5 billion in it for reduce electrical outages, harden the grid against disruptive events. There's another $5 billion of funding for research development of innovative approaches on grid resiliency. There's $1 billion for modernizing and upgrading grid electrical grids in rural and remote areas. There's a transportation facility program that is a funding program to fund construction of grids. So in this instance, AEA is going to sort of do that marshaling, that coordination. So it's similar to what we're trying to do generally on the bill. These are very specific coordination efforts around these big funding opportunities. So in the clean hydrogen area, $8 billion over 5 years to support a minimum of 4 regional clean hydrogen hubs to demonstrate production, processing, delivery, and storage of clean hydrogen. There's also $1 billion for clean hydrogen electrolysis. And so, and similarly on the carbon technology, $10 billion for carbon capture, direct air capture, clean energy demonstration. So these are all ones that are important to get out front on in these initial funding opportunity notices, because in many cases they're demonstration projects. They're limited to there'll only be a certain number. For example, the rare earth elements demonstration facility, it's $140 million opportunity. There's going to be one in the country. There are two private sector companies interested in Alaska in that. UCOR, it's an opportunity down in Prince Wales Island and Ketchikan area, and CVMR up in interior Alaska. So we need to be out, we need to be on these, but the upside potential for what is a relatively small general fund investment could be huge return in all these areas.
Great, thank you. Representative Edgman, did you have a question? Yes, we are.
Yeah, thank you. Just a real quick question. Back to the previous slide, which I think for the here and now is probably the most important sort of takeaway of this entire presentation. Miles, just want to give you the opportunity to talk a little bit about sort of broad coordination. You've got the governor's office apparently going to sort of beef things up where you are now. You're basically at one university shop. There's going to be a lot going on with AMLO, with AFN, and with other stakeholders. Where does this all converge? Maybe give you just very quickly, because I'm sure here, a quick opportunity to kind of frame that sort of question.
Sure. Representative Edgman, through the chair. We anticipate sort of a coordination office in the governor's office that would obviously be working very closely with these two organizations, would work very closely with the Commissioner of Commerce in the stand-up of the broadband office. I suspect, I don't want to get out ahead of the governor or anything, but I suspect we will want to formalize some coordination efforts and in terms of committees of coordination, I guess. I mean, one of the things that we're trying to balance is being able to least we have been, sort of move quickly, have the flexibility to assess these opportunities and go after these opportunities. I would point out that none of these are all just, they're going to fund what are in essence expensive grant applications, and anything that might result from those will come back to the legislature. We'll have conversations about whether we're successful and what we would actually do with those funds. But I know we're looking at having a sub-cabinet, for example. Typically, we have some sub-cabinets around different things, labor, workforce. Those are usually a subset of our commissioners. We're talking about having one here where we'd expand it a bit and have AEA and the university and others involved. But I think we want to be very judicious about task force and working groups that will introduce potentially a lot of administrative oversight and meetings and reports, and all of which could be good, but we just want to make sure we know exactly where those are going to add value and where they don't. But clearly, I know the legislature wants to be involved in coordination. We've talked to Senator Von Imhoff about, you know, LBNA's role, and I recognize that'll be shifting next year back to the House. So what is LBNA's role in that, the legislature's role? We also have not wanted to duplicate. AML has done a good job of pulling together an infrastructure coordination team that we participate in. We've got a regular meeting with the delegation to just work through issues and kick back problems. So we're still just, to be honest, trying to think through that, and we wanted to see where the legislature landed on these ideas and sort of have that conversation here in the next month before we finish.
Yes, please. Thank you. We'll take a brief at ease. Finance on the record at 204. Thank you, Representative LeBon.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And after I indicated I had a question, Mr. Baker went on to basically answer my questions. And my question was on slide 16, these are competitive grants, and the state share of these different opportunities is money spent up front to seek these grants, may or may not be awarded. But it's an investment the state should be prepared to make in the effort to receive these grants. And I think I heard you, yes, we're going to go after these grants.
Representative LeBon, through the chair, correct. We're asking for these funds from the legislature to go after these grants, these opportunities. And the exact nature of how the funding opportunity will come out, we're not sure. I was trying to capture the upside potential of some of these, but they're technical enough, and they involve these agencies are just sort of leading the effort, but it will be a multi-team effort, so it's not unreasonable that it's going to cost us about $1 million to respond to these opportunities.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Representative Wohl.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. That was kind of my question as well, and I wasn't here for part of the prior presentation of the same slide deck, but any one of those categories up there, 1 million state money, 5 million federal money. So the feds give us 5 million, we put down 1 million for a total of 6, and pretty much all those except the last one. And that money is used to apply for grants for the big money for some of these larger projects, and that money is to be used to hire people or get experts or contract engineers and so on and so forth. I guess I was trying to understand how what that 6 million goes for, say, in AEA or AGDC.
Representative Wohl, through the chair. And just to be clear, the federal money really is, the UGF is what we need. The feds are not going to pay us any money to prepare these applications. I think what we were trying to do here is to show a multiplier that was more than conservative. I mean, this is, if with a $1 million investment in these areas, we would expect, if we're successful, the federal money to be much higher than that. We need some federal receipt authority so that if we do get any money in response to these between now and when you're back in session, we have some authority to start working on that. But the money is to seed the effort. So I mean, it's to basically pay for content development, subject matter expertise, technical writing, coordination between the partners. You know, we're going to have academic researchers involved. We're going to have state resource agencies involved. In some cases, we have commercial partners involved. The rare earth critical elements, that requires, the DOE grant requires a commercial partner in partnership with an academic lead. And so if we are successful in these, then we would be coming back with, okay, we were successful, here's what's on the table. And in some cases, these are going to require a state participation to go forward.
Follow up.
Yeah, thank you. So the federal numbers are hypothetical. You're basically asking for a million UGF in a lot of these cases, put together a proposal and hire people. Because obviously for any of these projects that are listed, it's require far more than $5 million.
Absolutely.
So it'd be like 50 or 150 or 250 or whatever.
Absolutely.
So really you're just asking, the UGF is the request. The federal number is just sort of a placeholder and first step, I guess, right?
Through the chair, Representative Wohl, with one exception, the critical mineral security projects there, the last one, that is the University of Alaska in partnership with a number of entities is in phase one of what's called the Core CM project that's being led at UAF at the Institute of Northern Engineering. This is phase two of that. So we've got a little more granularity on that, and phase two of that we expect to be a 7.5 federal with, and it's going to require about a 2 million non-federal match. So that one is more specific, but you're right, the others, we wanted to show the multiplier effect, but these obviously they have the potential. I mean, if we were to get one of these clean hydrogen hubs, one of these four clean hydrogen hubs, it can be, you know, $2 billion of federal investment over the next, you know, multiple years.
Great, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Breaker, for being here today. We appreciate you finishing the presentation for us. This concludes our agenda for this afternoon. Our next meeting is tomorrow, Wednesday, April 20th at 9 a.m. We will consider Senate Bill 71, Council on the Arts, and House Bill 21, add faculty member University Board of Regents. And with that, we are adjourned at 2:11 p.m. Thank you.